Well, hello there. Welcome to the On to the Next podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa, and I am so happy you are here. If you are watching on YouTube, you already see I have a guest with me today. We have Miss Amaria back. Hi, Amaria.
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so Amaria was on season one, episode 17. Go listen, go watch. We got really deep. It was a lot more of a mature perspective, I think, of just relationships in general. So I am grateful for that. And that's also part of why I want to bring you back today. I think within the year, I've done a lot more growing. And so I'm like over the like toxic games and like back and forth energies.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, let me like continue to learn positive perspectives and just talk about them. I will always bring up and talk about some stories that might have happened in the past or whatever, I am trying to turn a new leaf.
It's relatable though, you know, you can't have a future without a past in a way, you know.
Yes,
like that happened, you can't be like,
yes,
you know.
And I have to, and I own it, I'm here, you
be
know,
like,
but it is nice to like see the different perspectives. And you do have a background in psychology, is that
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
So I also like that perspective because it's like having a therapist on, in a way, or someone who has more knowledge, like the more like textbook definitions of things,
which
I think is
sure.
really cool to hear.
Yeah.
Do you want to give a quick little intro again, just for people who haven't met you yet?
Sure. Hi, my name is Amaria Rayan, and I am an actress, a director, a writer, and I do a lot of things now that I say it. Like, why every time I go to introduce myself, I'm like, why didn't I have all the list of things freaking memorized? Like, what's going on? Also, co-founder of a film fest called the Breakout Film Festival, which will be again this year. And, author. Children's book author. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I like all the things, all the little things. And also, psychology enthusiast. with a background in it, like with a degree, like I'm not just a person who's just making up shit. So
yeah, and it's fun when you give your bios because you end up realizing you do so much more than you give yourself credit for.
Oh yeah.
And you find new things every day that you have new titles of doing.
And when you're on the spot too, mm-hmm. you're just kind of like, okay,
what's everything I do when I go home? And you
did. Yeah. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so, like, I have so many more accomplishments than that. Why did I let everybody know?
Yes. You should, like, do a running list of, like,
I
your.
Should, yeah, just have it on my hand.
Just
like,
in life. So you have that confidence. Like, wait, bitch. I'm,
in my
I'm
jacket.
Doing all this. Yeah. Literally, your jacket in your back pocket.
Yeah. For sure.
A notes
for sure.
on your app, phone.
Hold on a second. Bring in my own teleprompter.
Oh my gosh.
Just to, like, have it right there.
One day, that's when I know I made it. When I have a script I can read off of, like, behind the camera.
Is that, I mean, yeah.
It's possible.
I actually do have a teleprompter, though.
What?
If you would like to borrow
Where?
It.
How?
I have yet, I don't have room for it, so it's literally just in storage, but I do have one.
That's very unique. It's a very unique item to have, just
chilling. Yeah, it is very unique. It was cheap, though.
Okay.
It was, like, on the, you know where they have, like, the Amazon, like, Black Friday sales? It was
That's
like that.
Fun. Okay.
It was like, I got it for $60. It was originally like $120 or something.
Yeah, that is
so
cheap then.
Yeah. But it's nice. It's nice
one day that's like really useful.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I know. And you plug it, you have your iPad on it.
Yeah.
So you put your iPad on it.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, if you ever need a teleprompter, you can totally
that's
borrow my
to
teleprompter.
That's good to know, honestly. If I ever have like a crazy episode where I need to like read a script.
Yeah. Go for it.
Okay, that's good to know though. Thank you. And learn something new every day.
I got it because I was like, this will help me with like auditioning when I don't have like the screen. Wow. The lines memorized. And then I was like,
yes,
I don't have room for this.
You
can't
just
set this up.
Yeah, there's just times you just take the L and you don't memorize them, or you just do it. You have to make time.
Exactly. So,
Well, good to know, everyone.
Anyway,
if you need one, you know who to contact.
Yeah, right.
I did want to start off again. Every episode, I'm asking my guests what era they're in. I know you talked about your little era
mm-hmm.
last time, but what's this new energy, new era that you're in?
Do you remember what my era was last time? Because I don't actually right now.
You know, I should have. As a good host, I should have had this written down to reflect. So for future guests who come back, thank you. This is a learning moment. No, I'm like, thanks, everybody. I'm not doing my job, right? I feel like it was, like, something in the realm of, like, getting stuff done.
Okay.
Like,
it
seemed
kind of like
very,
a determined era.
I think it
probably
was.
Like
something very, like, straightforward.
Okay.
We're going to say that's what it was.
Okay.
If
okay.
you want to, make up a new one now.
You know what? I have a new one.
Okay.
That's my no bullshit era. I think that's
okay,
that's my one. Yeah. Which is kind of connecting to the other one.
I think it's
kinda
just
like
a
the
growth.
Other one was, like, I know what I want. I'm going for what I want. This one is, like, if you are not going to be in my life in regards to, like, where my life is going, you should leave. That's my no bullshit
era. And that's valid. Yeah. And last episode, the title was called Say It With Your Chest by You. And so it's just like more energy of like your growth the past, like what, 3-4 months even.
Yeah.
Which is really cool to see.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, a lot happens in that time frame.
It's very true.
Yeah. Well, that's good, everyone. Now we can reflect. I'll go home and look at, when I'm editing, I'll go look to see like how far off we were. But I love that for you. I know. No, I would bet it was something in the world of being determined.
Oh, no, it was. It was like, I think you're right. It was something having to do with like, hey, I know what I want. Like, I'm striving for what I want. Like, I think you're right.
Okay. That's fair. Well, thank you. I'll say I am.
You're good. See, you're the host. You remember.
Yeah.
Give yourself more credit. Okay, you remember. I went to like touch your arm and I was like, I
and
can't
you realize with this how far we are.
It's okay.
In spirit, I get your point. Thank you. Well, I appreciate it. And I love that era. With the new year, do you think that kind of shifted you to be more like ready to go? Or just in personal life, you've kind of gotten over the like in between?
You know what? I mean, I think every year, I feel like that's part of my era every year. Like it's part of like what like my New Year's resolutions kind of are, even though I don't fully believe in New Year's resolutions. I just believe in like life resolutions in a way, you know, because I don't think like, but I think every year it gets more, like I get more, I get more like, I hate to use the term strict, but like every year I tend to get more strict with that. Like, because I feel like you kind of get stricter every year. Because things happen every year. Mm-hmm. So you're just kind of taking that and be like, okay, this is another thing learned of why I should continue to do this.
Totally.
This is another way. Okay, this is another thing learned where I have to have another boundary in this area. Mm-hmm. This is another thing. So it just kind of builds up of your no bullshit era in a way. So
it's that
kind
makes of cumulative. Sense. Yeah. It's like heightened every year.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So
I mean, it's, especially for someone who's like a self-aware and conscious, like you realize like what you said, like you're going to not.
Yeah.
You know, you learn from that. Let's keep doing better and going full out. One day you'll get to your goal.
Right.
And then continue to grow from there.
Right, exactly. And I think also, too, like every year when it's like another year and then I'm like, oh, my birthday's coming up. It's like more of like, okay.
Yes.
No bullshit.
Winter like, birthday. You know,
May 25th.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, fun. My sister's May 21.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And my uncle's May 24th.
Oh,
we have
cool.
like 4 May birthdays in our family.
That's awesome.
So I won't forget you now.
It's a good month.
The 26th. Yeah. That's fun. I'm March 6th. So I feel like I have like 2 New Years very quickly.
Oh,
I have
the
New Year of the New Year, legit. And then I consider my birthday like the true New Year because I feel like always those 2 to 3 months are kind of like purgatory. Like what's going on?
Yeah.
Where am I? How do we do better? How do we regroup? And then once March 6th comes, or just March in general. March is also Women's History Month, so naturally I just like try to go full out in March for my new year, Women's History Month, and then just do better for the rest of the year.
Oh, I like that.
So I have a lot of time after March to like do better because I have, it's an early birthday.
Yeah.
And the seasons start changing and stuff, so just like life becomes more like pretty and hopeful for me in March.
Yeah.
Like after the dreariness of like, I mean, this winter is not bad at all, but... I mean, in the past
today
years.
It's cold, though. Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, just more so like, you guys, my Mother Earth, she's struggling. Like, we shouldn't celebrate 50-degree weather in December. There's bigger issues.
I know.
But I guess I'll take it if it's here, I guess. But, so that's just, like, a little sidebar. But that's fun. That's exciting. Yeah. You kind of get, like, 2 resets, but, like, half of the year, you know,
because
your birthday is later in the year, which is fun.
It's also, too, when it comes with goals, too, you just had me think of another tangent, sorry, is, like, you know how you have goals every year, and so you have, like, your no bullshit era, whatever, right? But then, like, you don't actually get to those goals because they weren't fully in your control. I think I've kind of been giving myself more grace in like, okay, I didn't get to that goal, but not because I didn't want to, not because I didn't try, but because that was out of my control.
Yes.
And I think that's a huge thing. So like remembering that every time the year comes around.
That's important.
And like my birthday, you know, like remembering that, be like, okay, I said that I like wanted to have this and this and this in my life and this and this and this, and not focus on that, especially if it wasn't in your control, or even if it was in your control and you're like, I was overwhelmed that year.
And
give
it just
myself a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I think that's giving yourself, like, it's a good medium between, you know, holding yourself up to a standard, but also realizing you're a human being and, like, hey, sometimes you're going to get overwhelmed and, you know.
And then life happens and new goals have to happen
to
accommodate
to
where you are in life.
Yeah. And that's, and that's why I tell people, too, is like, even like in relationships, I think about that with people of like the people who you want close to you are like the people who can like navigate the waves of life with you. Mm. Not, and because there's consistency in that, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, today this is this and this is this, and you're able to like work with that, you know, together with them, yeah. you know, whether a friendship or even relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just, I just like that. It's like, that's what is a good.
I do like that a lot. this is super, it just reminded me of this concept, mm-hmm. how like you ride the waves of like the relationship together. Mm-hmm. One of my friends said that before her now fiance proposed to her, my friend asked her fiance's dad, like, how did you know you were ready? And he was like, I knew I was ready when I realized like this person, meaning his wife, mm-hmm. was the woman he wanted to go through all those ebbs and flows of life with. And he was willing to have the highs, to have the lows, to have the mundane days, like, mm-hmm. and be willing to also know it's like every day you wake up and commit to doing better, to loving that person, to forgiving them, to growing with them, in any way, encouraging them, mm-hmm. all the things you need in a relationship, yeah. and knowing that you want to do that every day, it's like, yeah. something you commit yourself to. It's mm-hmm. a commitment, mm-hmm. which is deeper than just like, oh yeah, ring, or oh yeah, like we have now bills and mortgage and on paper we're committed.
Yeah.
It's like every day as a human you're committing yourself to them as well.
Yeah. So I saw this video on Instagram, and it was this guy like talking to this female, and he was like, you know, you don't, he said, you don't choose somebody because you haven't found anything better, because they're the best there is, mm. because they aren't the best there is. There's always
yeah.
something better, yes. like out there. And there's always something better than that, because that's more of a perspective instead of a fact. Mm-hmm. Like there's never like a perfect person, but there's always going to be somebody who like makes up for something that other people didn't have, or somebody
yes.
who has attributes that other people didn't mm-hmm. have. And he said, you know, love isn't about like being with someone and being in love with someone and choosing to be with them. Is literally about choosing to be with them. It's
yeah.
not about the fact that I'm with you because there's nothing else better. I'm with you because you're the best there is. No, because if that's true, then what happens when there is something
yeah.
better or the best? Mm-hmm. Or you know what I mean? It's like, that's not what a relationship is about. It's no, I'm with you because I want to build with you, because I'm choosing this relationship. And that,
I love that
and
so
that's
much.
Kind of piggybacks off of what
exactly.
Well,
you said so it's like, simpler, which was like, I'm choosing to do this with you,
yeah,
because just, it's you, not yeah. because it's like timing
exactly.
and
exactly.
Oh, this
exactly.
is the time. Like you will make it work
exactly.
if you need to make it work.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's like this. Of course, the most classic saying: the grass isn't always greener. On the other side, I like the perspective of the grass is greener where you water it.
Oh no, for sure. For sure.
And like I think that's the most valid way to put it.
Yeah.
And it's true. You see it physically when you water plants or green,
oh, yeah.
you know,
sure.
greenery.
Yeah.
And then in relationships when you nourish them
yeah.
and water them in any
yeah.
way, that's where those strong relationships
no,
come
sure.
out of,
yeah.
which is really cool.
Have you seen there's also the saying of sometimes the grass is green on the other side because the grass is fake?
Oh, yes, I have
and
seen
I
that.
Was like,
that's also a fun, it's like a little bit less
it's
inspiring,
like, no,
but it's
more
a
like,
fun,
don't
like,
take
real.
Everything at face value. Because again, we
yes.
look at social media and we think collectively as a society, we're like, oh my gosh, that is what the perfect thing is, or that is what the perfection is, or
mm-hmm.
that is the attainable thing. But like, not everything is what you see, so
yes.
you don't know details of everything. So it's kind of,
yes.
you know, always remind yourself of that, I think, is important.
That's really great. I like
yeah.
that a lot. And yeah, that's valid. That now I have like a follow-up, because it kind of brought up what we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe in right person, wrong time?
So
I know. It's I'm every day.
You know what?
I can't decide.
Okay, you know what? I do, but here's the disclaimer of this. I'm just gonna try to articulate my thoughts, and
mm-hmm.
I have a really sweaty palm right now, so I'm just gonna like wipe my palm.
Sorry. You're good.
Or the mic's gonna go bloop.
No.
It's like an electrical shortage. sorry. So I do, but I don't think. Okay. I do. In an aspect of, yes, I do think that you can meet a right person at the wrong time,
mm-hmm.
as in like you weren't ready for that kind of relationship or whatever. But I still think that if they are the right person
mm-hmm.
and you meet them again,
yes,
it should work them. Like, I still, like, because I feel like that's used a lot with, of, you know, right person, wrong time, and then that was it. Like,
yes.
Oh, that was
the
right person, wrong time, whatever, and then you meet them later on down the line, and it's the right time, and you're like, no, you're not the right person. I don't agree with that.
I agree. Because
if it was the right person, that doesn't change.
Yes, I
agree.
You
know what I mean? So that's how I, like, agree with it, but only with that disclaimer on it of, like, if they're the right person, then they're still the right person. If they were the right person, unless
yes.
you're a completely different person than you were when you met them. But then that's all this other, like, I don't know. I feel like more people realize that the whole right person, wrong time thing is actually false when it comes to actually evaluating if that person was the right person.
That's very valid.
If
you
they actually
realize
start to,
later
yeah,
in life
yeah.
they actually weren't
it's
right for me.
It's more of a right fling, wrong time.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
it wasn't really a substantial thing, but that mm-hmm. was how you kind of let yourself think about it because you never had it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So you're kind of, you romanticized
yes,
it.
Yes, always.
Instead of the actual person. And
yes.
I think that's how more people see
the
it.
The concept.
They,
and you
yes.
well, everything, I mean, I'm someone, I'm a dramatic person. Like, I grew up as an actress. I'm theater. So I'm like, oh my God, they are the one for
yeah,
me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
this is it. How dare this not work? But it's also like, first of all, in a year from now, you're going to be like, thank God it didn't work. That's not the right person.
And that's
not the
exactly,
right time.
Exactly.
Or you're in the moment, this is the one for me. When something blows up, are you working to do better
mm-hmm.
together and
mm-hmm.
you're going to figure it out? Or mm-hmm. is it going to be a blow up and you're done for good? Because if you're done for good after the blow up, it's not the right person either.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I agree. I think for a long time, I didn't believe in that. I was like, no, it's BS. Like, if it's the right person, they'll make it be the right time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've seen in just life different experiences of people come and go in life. Like, you definitely see anyone who's left later down the line, whether it's the day after, a year later, 10 years yeah. later, I'm like, oh my God, these are clear red flags
mm-hmm.
that happened
mm-hmm.
in the moment. But I was so glamorized by the fact that they were in front of me, I forgot, like,
yeah.
of all the
yeah.
negative parts.
No, for sure.
And so I haven't
yeah.
had a person who left that I was like, oh my God, like, I dropped the ball. Like, that person was for me. Because if it was, they come or they will come back.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
the thing that's interesting. Yeah, because I've had that experience too, where it was mm-hmm. like, what I thought was right person,
mm-hmm.
wrong time, was actually just, I wasn't close enough to them to realize if they were the right person or
mm-hmm.
not. It was my idea of them.
Yes.
And sometimes we get so, like, wrapped up in the mystery of a person,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then we kind of fill in the blanks and
yeah.
we fill it in with really good things. And not to say that they're a bad person or something, but, and then we actually get to know that person. We're like, we don't click as much as I thought we did. And that's what
mm-hmm.
happened later
mm-hmm.
is then when we, like, reconnected as friends, because we were always friends, it was like, this isn't what I thought. Like, I don't really like talking to you. Like that.
Like
I don't
vibe.
Yeah,
yeah.
We don't have that connection that you need. And I'm like, that feels weird. That's weird.
And it is, it's like kind of annoying because you're like, I spent years hyping this person up. And then sometimes
yeah.
when they're not in your life, you romanticize it even more.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they're in your life again, you're like, I'm kind of bored.
Yeah. Or the thought of what if, because, you know, as well,
yes.
you get stuck on the what if.
Yes.
So even years down the line, sometimes you'll have in your head about, like, what if?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have been able to pursue that further. And what if they were, you know, whatever, whatever. And then, yeah, and then you get that if.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, this was a letdown.
Yeah, and, like, 100%. I kind of started that concept of processing that. In high school, I read the book, the man, the writer, R.M. Drake. He does a lot of quotes. Like,
oh,
he's
okay.
a quote guy. But he has little short stories of, like, pretty, like, fictitious stories that, like,
aww.
It's a book, it's really thick. It's called The Beautiful and the Damned, or The Damned and the Beautiful. Wait.
Either it's beautiful and damned. Either way.
Either way, you're beautiful
so
and you're damned.
Yeah,
that's valid. Okay.
You're damned beautiful.
Yeah. I actually read it again a few months ago when I was, like, trying to, like, reprocess my thinking. Because, like,
mm-hmm.
that book, I remember being, like, 17. I read it after, like, a little high school heartbreak. And I was like, oh, my God, this changed everything. But he has a lot of stories of, like, this beautiful romance. And you're reading it and you're like, oh, my God, I want them together. And then once they get together, they're like, Or he does a lot of stories of, like, they were amazing. They disconnected. They find each other again, and it didn't work. And a few times it did work, but he leaves it in a mystery for us to make up how it ended.
Mm.
And so I think that always was, like, fun for me because I remember it gave me hope. But it also, when I was going through that breakup, I'm like, okay, we probably weren't meant to be then. Like, that's kind of when I started getting the concept of, like, people are there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept of the right person, wrong time also can give the idealization of, like, people, someone being destined for you or like predetermined for you, and it's up to you if you find them in this lifetime. And that's a whole
other thing. That's a whole other mind thing. But here's the thing too, is like, yeah, because then you get on the whole topic of soulmates, right?
Yeah.
So like, so I'm a Christian. So I do look at relationships a lot from the Christian aspect of, has God like preordained something to happen? Mm-hmm. So like that's, so I'm like, okay, so I'll look at relationships in that mind frame. But I'm also highly logical, so then I also like,
yeah.
But so even though I do think that there is a specific person for everybody, I don't think it always happens.
I agree.
And
that,
so sadly. I think that just because it doesn't happen with one person who is supposed to be the person for you. If the person was supposed to be the person, I don't think that means like, oh shit, like that's my person's gone now.
Yeah.
Like I think other people can become that person on their own and in the right timing come into your life.
And if you're open to that.
Yeah.
I agree.
So that's kind of how I've learned in my life. Cause there's been, you know, times I was in a really long term relationship and I was like, oh, this is like, this has to be my person. Like this is definitely my person. And then when it went to crap, I was like, this is what, like that, like it just like shatters your entire world because you literally were so.
You lived this life.
You really
with that
thought,
person.
Yeah. And then as I got older, I was like, wait a second. But other people have to, like, just because that doesn't work doesn't mean
that
your shot is done
at
like your happy ending or whatever the hell you want to call it, you know? So that's my. Like thought process. So,
I agree.
Yeah. So that's a whole nother. Like,
yeah. I'm still not sure how I.
Thing that I think that it's not just a very clear cut thing. Like any which way you roll the dice, I don't think it's clear cut like religiously, and I don't think it's clear cut, you know, philosophically, and
spiritually,
I don't think it's clear cut
whatever
spiritually.
You believe,
I don't even think it's clear cut psychologically. Like none of it is like clear cut because it's just
We're complex people.
Yeah. We're just.
It's also hard. I'm someone now. I'm like, I don't think my husband is in Illinois. Like. There's no way I was that lucky to be born in the same state as my soulmate. Because the goal is I marry my soulmate. That's what everyone wants.
That rhymes. That was cute.
Oh, really? Okay, cute.
The state is my soulmate.
Oh, yeah, it did. Dropping bars right now.
I would do this, but I need to.
Yeah.
I don't want to actually.
We get what you mean. So I'm at that point now where I'm like, do I need to move to Italy? Because I feel like he's in Italy. Do I need to move to Greece or Spain or literally anywhere but Illinois or even just a different state? Like, the thought of, like, my soulmate living down the block for me is, like, one in a million. And maybe I'm, you know, jaded or whatever, but I remember with my, like, high school, like, long-term person, when that didn't work out, I finally was like, Alyssa, you really think the kid you knew since 5 years old was like the one for you, like.
But that's what storybook things
thing
tell
for
us
people.
Too.
It
that's,
is,
yeah, and that is what I think. I mean, and I love books, and I love literature of all kinds, and I love movies, you know. But I think that is like the storybook thing that we're told is like the perfect way that's supposed to happen, and it does work out for people like that. And I've always been a little jealous of people.
Well, 100%. It's like so easy,
But that doesn't mean that it's like, oh, it has to be the person that you've known forever and like suddenly you look at them different or you've known each other since you were 5 years old and like you're friends with like your parents were friends with their parents and then blah, blah, blah.
And then
like
you
ended up together and this beautiful love story. Like it doesn't always have to happen like that. Sometimes someone can just come into your life and you're like, where the heck did that person come from? Like, first of all, where were you?
10
years ago.
Yeah.
Secondly, where the hell did you come from? You know, so I think like being open to the beauty in that too.
I agree.
Like a very just like.
I love, now that I'm older, I like when I meet different people and that are in relationships, like healthy marriages. My favorite stories are the ones that like, we met when we were 28 and we got married at 32 and now we're 40 with kids and a life. And I'm like, you've known each other for 10 years or 12 years or whatever it is. Like, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. That gives me hope. Like, my person, maybe I didn't meet them yet.
Yeah.
And because I grew up, I mean, I grew up with all the relationships I grew up with all had known each other since high school.
Wow.
So, like, I saw these adults be with each other since high school. And granted, none of them are healthy. They essentially, like, didn't grow up they grew up together, but mm-hmm. they change because as you change and evolve.
Right, right.
And so it's like, okay, maybe I don't want to be with my five-year-old crush or my high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
Because are we going to really have this commitment to grow or just be complacent and just kind of grow up together? But then you grow up together and you realize you like want different things.
Yeah. So are we going to just become like roommates?
Yeah.
Like
no,
in a college dorm?
Literally.
Like, yeah.
Coexisting, just like living our own lives, but also like we're besties. Yeah. Like, because we have that like natural, like we're grandfathered in at this point.
Yeah.
So
I like that.
Yeah. That's just like what I. Yeah. At this point, yeah. So I think that also helped me figure it out. I mean, I also was lucky enough. I'm the first in my family to go to college, so like I got a whole different life of people that I met, and I think that also gave me perspective of like, wait, these people are from different states, and we're both in this university. What a cool experience! I would never have thought I would have met somebody who's from California, or Arizona,
for sure.
And now here I am, like, oh my God, we're besties, and now I get to experience life with you in Arizona, whatever it is. So it's just like little things that you don't realize, like, life can open you up to that we weren't taught as kids.
Yeah,
at least I wasn't.
Yeah.
I was shown, like you said,
the
small town, homegrown, cousins, best friend.
Yeah,
and now we're
dating,
like, grew up together.
No, and then even like to piggyback on top of that, mm-hmm. the whole idea of like a relationship has to be a certain way, mm-hmm. that has, the older I've gotten, I used to think people who met someone and then got like engaged like 2 months later were crazy.
Me too. But
and now I'm like, I'm 31.
This is valid.
I'm actually pretty open to it. I'm not gonna lie. But then, and if you do research, you actually find out that, like, psychologically speaking, and a lot of things, people, and they did a whole bunch of surveys on this too, people know if they want to spend the rest of their life with you within like 8 months or something.
Oh my God.
Like, it's under a year. And so it's when you know, you know.
I'm like, so.
And that's the thing. But, and what's funny is that if you, more women are being shown these stats and these surveys and being like, I've been with this motherfucker for five years.
Literally.
And he keeps saying, well, you know, I don't know if I just need more time to get married to you. And they're like,
grow up.
But you know at that point. And so that's why I'm like, I used to very much, like you said, homegrown, where it's like, oh, you need like all this time to get to know someone like that. And you need to spend like, I mean, my plan was that I meet someone and I'm with them for like 4 years, and then like 25, I get married and like have kids. Like, that was my plan, and that did not happen. And then I'm like, and I would look at other people who had gotten like engaged or married like really fast, who are still together, which is crazy. And I'm like, okay, then you knew. Like, when you know, you know.
Yeah.
And I used to look at them though at that time and being like, what is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
You got engaged after knowing some guy for like 3 months, not taking into account they saw each other a lot. They talked a lot. They had difficult conversations
quicker
early on. They were very intentional about the relationship, not, oh, I'm just going to play this out and see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
It was very much a, hey, are you going to be my future mate? Let's find out. And then when they knew, they knew. And it was very, so yeah. And so that's why I always tell people, I'm like, I mean, if you don't want to get married, that's a whole nother thing. And that's your choice. Not going to, obviously.
Yeah.
If you don't want to have kids, you don't want to get married, that's your choice. I'm not one of those people. But if you do though, you got to make sure that you know that they know.
It's intentional.
They know. And you got to be intentional about it. Especially, and I would honestly start earlier with that too. I think that is my, like, I've always been intentional, but when I was younger, because I felt like I had more time, I was kind of just like entertaining something and not being as intentional as I should have,
because
I thought it would either just dwindle itself out or amp itself
It'll fall into place and be worth it. It doesn't
happen like that. You got to have like set discussions and set boundaries, and you got to be like, listen, like, and again, when you know, you know. And, you know, stats have shown that they know a lot earlier. Both people know a lot earlier. So if you can have the conversation and be like, listen.
100%. I have also realized this because I have some friends who are in long-term relationships or already got engaged, and it's with someone they met like 3 years ago. And I asked the boy, the man, I guess. he's a boy. So he's 26.
It's fine.
No, I asked the man, and I'm like, the friends, like my girlfriends, I'm like, when did you know you wanted to date her? He's like, oh, within 4 weeks. Like, we literally went on two dates. And I was like, okay, I want her to be my girlfriend. I'm like, okay, when did you know you wanted to marry her? Oh, within a year. They all said within a year, and they all said under a month or two they wanted to date this girl full time. Nowadays, we're doing the situationships. We're doing the talking stages. Mm-hmm. We're doing the, let's get to know each other for a year, and then maybe we'll start dating, or maybe life will take us other places. Mm-hmm. And it feels like we're placements. Like, we are placements for the next one.
Yeah, you're placeholders. Yeah.
We're placeholders. Yeah. And while, yes, I encourage the on to the next lifestyle given my brand, however, I will say at this point in time, it's like, okay, we're all in our 20s plus, like, at least who I'm surrounded by. If you're a 28-year-old man and you're still being a player and, like, in that lifestyle, that's great. Do your thing. But don't drag girls who are ready for kids or who biological's time clock is coming closer to that time where you can't just dilly-dally.
Those men piss me off.
Yeah, let the ones who take advantage of it, because they can still have kids when they're 50. Mm-hmm. Like,
someone, I actually read a quote from someone, and it said, it was to speak on behalf of a woman, so I'm not speaking on behalf of a guy. Don't come after me. And it said, don't let a man take advantage of your youth.
Aww.
And let you waste your youth. And I think, and it was interesting because, and they don't mean like youth as in like, oh my gosh, if you're 30 or 40, now you're old. They mean like, don't let him take advantage of the fact that, like, if you want kids, you do have a biological timeline, unfortunately. Yeah. That's the way it is. And don't let somebody make you in a situationship or be a placeholder when you could be out there with the person who actually wants those same things.
Who's ready, yeah.
Who's ready for that, who wants, like, and that's, I see so many younger women fall into that trap. And they're just like, you know, because they want, maybe they do want to be with this person, you know, and they're just waiting for it to, like, naturally fall into place. And I'm like, no, girl, you got to see where his head's at, because I don't want you wasting your time.
Yeah.
Like, get up and get going.
Also,
I'm sorry.
Also, respectfully, guys can live in the la-la land of,
for
like,
so
yeah, we're dating for 6 years. And, yeah, I think she's cool. I think she's happy. Like, they need to be, like, a checklist. Like, they need, like, a push or something. Like, not every guy is going to be, like, ready to go. And maybe I just haven't met the right one, because all the ones I know need to be babied. And, like, okay,
yeah, then
next
you have not
step.
Met the right one.
Yeah, like, what the hell? Like, let's grow up. Granted, I'm 23.
Like I said,
entertaining still younger, like, 23 to 25, roughly, whatever. But I've learned that quickly. I'm like, okay, so I think I have to be with an older man. I mean, 28. Like, I'm not saying older, like, 10, 20 years for me.
Yeah.
But I still feel like someone in their 20s, but someone who, like, already has a career set up, who has, like, their own stuff going for them. Mm-hmm. Outside, and who is ready, like you said.
Yeah.
You also reminded me when SZA says, I wondered if I wasted the best of me on you. Every time I hear that line, I'm like, that hurts me. I can go on a whole tangent alone.
That's so sad.
Her song Good Days,
phenomenal. Yeah.
I heard it a few weeks ago with a different mindset from when I've heard it when it came out, obviously. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that line, I was like, oh my God, this is a universal feeling of women just sitting here wasting their best time or their youth, like you said, that quote had said, on these men who are just living life dilly-dallying in their own world, and they don't realize. I'm like actually getting upset right now. I'm just kidding.
And
I'm like, wait,
guys,
why? Like, why
those
would
guys
do this to
have
myself?
The, they just have, and it's unfair, but it is the way it is.
Yeah.
They have more time.
They do.
So it's like, so guys will do that. Not every guy. Not good guys.
The ones we don't want to strive for.
Because I'm not going to put every guy in.
Yeah,
it, you
I
know,
agree.
But yeah. But those type of guys will do that. And then when they're like, you know, 45, they're like, I'm ready to settle down. And then they go and like date like women who are like
25 year old, because they can still have kids.
And you know what women need to do? They need to shut that shit down. They need to be like, how about you date a woman your own age? And what were you doing with your life this entire time?
I think
why
it's concerning.
Why now are you deciding, oh, you're ready because you feel old? Like, because you're not
everyone
the life
else
of the party
already
anymore?
Has kids.
Yeah, like
teenagers at this point.
Yeah, because now you look like the boring uncle instead of like the cool guy.
With like a family and like stability.
Yeah,
100%.
It's ridiculous.
That
really pisses me off.
No, I actually just got so triggered. I'm like, I need to do some
regrouping
in life. Okay, let's not go down that rabbit hole. But
again, when a guy knows, a woman knows, if they see a future with you, if they want to get married, and they want to, they'll know if they want to marry you.
Yeah,
I agree. Less than a year.
I agree.
That is honestly true. I mean, really... And so if they give you the whole of, well, I just want to see how this naturally goes, it's an excuse. It's a way for him to buy more time to entertain you because maybe he likes the emotional comfort of you. Mm-hmm. You provide those emotional needs that he has. You provide physical needs for him. Mm-hmm. You provide all of the things that he doesn't have to work for anymore. Because you never put any of those things on him. There's no like steps to anything because you're just like,
you're living in the same, you're comfortable. Yeah. That is another thing I see girls talking about more on TikTok. And it's like men, women will marry their love of their lives and men won't. Men will marry the person that they want to marry when they're ready to get married. It might not be the love of their life. Because like you said, like you can be 45 years old now, you're ready to marry someone. Whatever girl you're with will just make the cut. Because you're comfortable with her.
Sad.
And it's very sad.
It's sad.
And they all, and like women, you know, we have this idea of like Prince Charming and soulmates and love and all that stuff we were talking about today that we just proved was something women think about. Mm-hmm. And we're here searching, this is the one for me, and he's just ready to get married. Mm-hmm. So she just got lucky. Unless, you know, you meet your person younger and you figure it out younger. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I am glad that I have a lot of my friends that are in healthy long-term relationships. So whenever I have a chance, I'm talking to their boyfriends or their husbands or their fiancés. And I'm like, when did you know? What's your timeline? Like trying to realize that there are good men out there who can also hold accountability and do those next steps.
Yeah, yeah. And it's actually, I've been seeing a lot on social media of women just really putting clear boundaries. And like men too, honestly. So I'm really happy that there's a like a nice turn going. But a lot of women, because I think women get like, they get more of their boundaries crossed than men do
in
a lot of areas.
Historically.
Like, let's just be honest. I'm sorry.
Like it just 100%.
Yeah. So, and I can only speak from a woman's standpoint. So, but what I'm seeing a lot is like the thing that I remember like learning younger, but like, really it sets in when you're older is the like if you like playing house with somebody is not going to get you anywhere. Like if you like entertain, like let's say you want to be married and want kids, if you entertain everything about that but without the actual marriage part, the chances of you actually being married to that person are super low because you're just in this fantasy world. And you're not putting any expectations on the relationship.
Or
you're
boundaries.
Not putting any timelines.
Yeah.
You're not putting any boundaries. It's literally like you're playing house. And all these women are now starting to speak up about that and being like, you know what? Hold on a second. Like, this guy expects me to do this and do this and do this and do this. And yet when I'm saying like, okay, hold on. Like, I want to be married. I want to have kids. It's, oh, whoa. You're rushing me.
Dude.
And it's like, well, then hold on. Then I'm going to hold back a little bit because let's play the field here evenly. Like, that's not okay. So
you are just triggering. I need to go home and write and regroup. And I'm just triggered today because I realized in a situationship that I was in, I'm giving this boy everything a girlfriend would give this boy. Mm-hmm. So why would I ever expect him to want to date me full time if he's already getting all girlfriends?
What's the difference?
And also he's giving me everything a boyfriend would give me. So but we're still not boyfriend and girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And so that's like, okay, we are living this life where we're basically everything but the title. So what am I expecting to change? I'm enabling the situation. I'm allowing this to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm very hyper aware that like, oh no, we're just like, you know, it's complicated.
It feels good. It's enjoyable. And you're like,
and
like
it's fun
that
in the moment or whatever it is. And then people are like, oh, like, what's going on? It's like, oh, no, a title, too much pressure. Mm-hmm. But that's what we're doing. And it's just like, so why would I think the cycle's going to change? Like, I have to be the one to change it because he can live in this cycle for as long as I allow it.
Yeah.
Unless one day he wakes up and it's like, oh, my God. But, like, that will not. You know what I mean?
You get used to comfort and then you just get – I mean, that's why people stay in relationships that they know
100%.
Are not good for them or that they know the person doesn't even really love them or whatever.
Yeah,
they stay in there because you get used to the comfort of that person being there. instead of intentionally wanting them to be there. Mm-hmm. And that is like, I would never, ever, ever want someone to be with me just for the comfort of my presence, just because
it's what they're used to.
There and they want
it's
someone
stability.
To, yeah, it's stability. Like,
it's
I want
reassuring.
You to want me there because you want me there. And if you want me there, then marry me so you can always have me there.
Yeah.
Like, that, like yeah. Bro.
The solutions are clear, you guys. I don't know where the disconnect is at this point.
Which also leads me to another thing, which I was actually talking about boundaries to another friend of mine, and she was telling me how, like, you know, it's really, she found it really heartbreaking that, like, she would set clear boundaries for relationships, and guys would always want explanations.
Oh, my God.
And she said,
that's interesting.
What if you said that to a man?
Yeah.
And she said, well, first of all, she said men need to set more boundaries in relationships, mm-hmm. too. I think there's just a lack of boundaries. And I agree with her. I think, like, we just need to set, both sexes just need to set boundaries in order to just protect yourself, protect your emotional, mental health.
Yeah.
Are in line with what you want for your future, future thinking, are healthy for the relationship that you're pursuing right now.
Yeah.
But she said, you know, if a guy sets a boundary, if a guy says, I don't want to do that. You don't question that. No one's going to be like, why?
And when you do question them, you're crazy, you're emotional, you're dramatic.
Yeah, or it's like, why are you, like, if another, it's so weird because if somebody said that to a guy, like, why? Why don't you want to do that? They'd be like, why? I don't even fucking tell you why,
yeah,
bitch.
Because you never had to.
Yeah, you're right. But, like, us women, especially when it comes to, like, physical boundaries or emotional boundaries, if we're like, hey, I don't, like, no. Or, like, you know, I don't want to do that or this or that.
Uh-huh.
It's always a, well, why? It's like, why do I need to explain myself to you? I shouldn't have to explain myself. And we're conditioned to feel that guilt that we have
yes.
to. So automatically we're like, I need to have a really good explanation that passes the
yes.
okay with him so he's not mad at me.
Oh,
and
my
that
God.
Is so wrong that we don't teach
women younger,
women,
younger. Now it's a new generation,
yeah,
the younger,
like,
girls.
Honestly, to be like, because I don't want to. And
yeah, and that's all
there.
Valid. And
I don't need to, like, that's, it's crazy. Like, it's one thing if you're, like, in, like, a very, you know, serious long-term relationship and suddenly you know, you're like,
changing up,
yeah,
your life.
And
yeah.
you're like, I don't want you to kiss me. And they're like, what are you talking about? You've been kissing me for, like,
yeah,
2 years.
Yeah.
Like, that's different. But I mean, like, especially starting out relationships, we need to start teaching men and women, like, it's okay to say no. It's okay to have boundaries, and it's, you don't need to explain yourself.
Do you know how many times myself or my girlfriends have to sit there, write down a list of what they want to say, and then reasons to back it up?
It's
because
messed up.
They're not valid. They don't think what they want to say is validating enough.
Yeah.
They already, and me too, like, there are times when I'm like, okay, I'm going into this conversation. It's going to be, whether no matter what, relationships, work, whatever situation, friendship, whatever, I have to have 3 reasons that I'm like, I'm not crazy, right? This is a valid reason. And it's like, why are they making me feel like I'm crazy? I'm expressing how I'm feeling.
Yeah. And why is society?
And
maybe,
why
yeah.
is this a thing that we're
yeah.
allowing?
Yeah.
But 100%, especially, like, in the workplace with different,
oh, yeah,
with different
that too. Yeah.
power dynamics,
yeah.
men say one thing, we're not doing that anymore. Okay, cool. A woman, we're not doing that anymore. We realized this happened and this happened. It wasn't a good idea. Whatever. And so now we're explaining ourselves. And it's not fair. And I remember in high school, I was a senior in high school. That was when I was starting to find myself more. But, you know, sorry, I felt more like, okay, like, I'm processing life. And I remember I was a people, I mean, I still am a people pleaser. We're trying. But I try to be, I was worse in high school, oh my God. But basically, I remember, like, I had the hardest time saying no. And it's to anyone, to a friend, to a colleague, to a teacher, to whatever I was doing in life. And I remember I watched this video of this woman being like, the best way to say no, when they ask for a reason, say that doesn't work for me. No, why not? It just doesn't work for me.
That's a good
what
idea.
What else can you say
yeah,
after
that's
that?
A good one,
well,
yeah.
It doesn't work for you. It just doesn't work for me. It doesn't work with my schedule.
Yeah.
Doesn't work whatever. You know what I mean? And so I remember I started practicing that when I got to college and, like, I was in a lot of different clubs and organizations, and, like, whenever I got more stuff put on to me, when I was physically like, I cannot do this, like, I don't have enough time or this capacity, whatever it was, I was starting to learn the gift and the beauty of saying that doesn't work for me, because you kind of can't, like, go back. Like, what could you say to someone? Okay, like, cool. Like, okay, then we'll find someone else who does work for.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a way you can slowly start until you feel comfortable saying no,
yeah.
period.
Yeah. It's just that, yeah, that bothers me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just bothers me that
it's
we're just, like,
thing.
Conditioned that, like, we have to have an explanation that passes other people's criteria.
Mm-hmm.
of why we don't want to do something.
To validate what we're feeling already.
Yeah. And it's just like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, wow, that's just, yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
And just to, like, wrap up this whole concept, what are advice or what are things that you've had to do to fully, like, be done with something that wasn't good for you? Whether it's a job, a friendship, a relationship.
Oh, man. Okay.
This is hard. I know. I've been trying to think, too, for myself. Like, what's something I can tell myself or my friends that, like, need to hear when to walk away?
Okay. So, I do a lot of, like, in therapy and stuff, you do a lot of visualizations of things, right? So, like, when it comes to, like, a job and so in that aspect, I think a really good idea, which has helped me a lot in walking away from, like, professional stuff or even, like, you know, a gig or anything in regards to that is thinking, like, honestly, closing my eyes and thinking about the scenario if I stay there for a little bit longer.
Oh, wow.
And think about all the good things that could happen.
Yes.
And then think about all the bad things that could happen. And then this is where your logic comes in. Logically put together what is more likely to happen.
Ooh.
So you're letting yourself see the positive, because we can't, like, I feel like if we just automatically paint something in a negative picture, we don't fully believe it already.
Yes.
We need to be like, okay, I need to visualize the what ifs, bad and good.
Mm-hmm.
And then be like, which one is closer to reality of what will likely happen?
And that reality is based off of what's happened in the past.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love
and
that.
So, yeah. And where you are right now and how you feel. Mm-hmm. So you even take in consideration, like, how would my life be staying in this job? Mm-hmm. Not just even, like, the job environment. How would my life be at home if I stay at this job?
Yeah.
How will my life be in this other area if I stay at this job? Let's visualize and see, is my sleep going to be good? Let's not, like, and just honestly visualizing that in the present tense and in the future tense, and then also deducting which one is most likely to happen. So you'll be like, okay.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah, an example of this would be like, okay, so if I stay at this job, oh my gosh, a great thing that would happen is, you know, I get like a $5 raise within the next 2 months. Okay, that's awesome. That'd be great. And then think about, is that really reality though? Is that really going to happen? No. So then allowing yourself to, like, feel those feelings and then immediately decipher if they're logical based in reality or not. And then that'll help you be very firm on your decision because you've already done the problem solving.
That's great.
And so then when they come back to you and they're like, but there's so much opportunity for growth or something, you're like, yeah, I already know, I already visualized it and it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So it helps you kind of, like, combat those manipulation tactics.
Yeah, totally.
So that was, yeah,
and that. With that, I think of that in terms of, like, a relationship. If you're already unhappy and you're this young or you've been in it for only 6 months and it's already a hot mess, you can think, okay, he's going to change. He's going to get help. He's going to go to therapy. Or she's going to change. She's going to get help. Whatever it is. We really know. It's mostly men. Okay. I'm trying to be inclusive, but I'm like, let's be real. It's usually the men who need to fucking regroup. But anyways, yeah, I saw you break character. You're like, oh, God. She? Since when? Does she have to get help? I'm just kidding. So you're like, okay, they're going to get better. But in the past 6 months, you've expressed these issues. They didn't get better. They got better for a day or for a week to make you feel good in the moment, but it didn't get better after that. So realistically, why would I think it's going to get better in 10 years from now? We're just going to be miserable.
Okay. So when I'm house hunting right now.
Okay.
And there's a really good, I drew a really good, like, connection analogy between these two things. And I went to a lot of houses that need work, because in my price range they need work, because your girl ain't stacked money. Okay.
Like, not right
you're
now
getting there, you're I'm getting there, there. I'm
yeah.
getting there.
Yes.
But even then, like, there should be houses that are in price ranges. I mean, back in 2020 they were, like, a lot of houses in a nice price range that were, you know, and it's expensive to live. I feel like even people who make like $80,000 a year are having the hardest time living right now, which is sad.
Yeah, it is.
But I went into this one house that was in a great price range, but it was tore up, like, from the floor up, tore up. Like,
okay.
It was bad. And, I mean, everything needed work. And I mean everything needed work. There was, like, one part of that room that was, like, decent but still not livable. And I remember walking through the house, and I was on the, I was on the phone with my contractor. And I was like, Yo, this reminds me of how I used to look at men. Of like,
I love that so much.
Of like, man, this is a really fucked up house. But you know what? If I put in the effort and the hard labor and the time, maybe this could be my house that I could live in, and it could be my home, my family house.
Oh my God.
And he started cracking up, and I was like, bro, like the days of that are over. And I,
good
that's
for you.
What made me realize that was like, that was how I think a lot of women view men.
Oh my God.
As the potential yeah. syndrome, you know?
Yeah.
And then I remember, and I was like, you know, I remember even telling my mom, I was like, nowadays it's like, you need to come already remodeled.
Pre-packaged. Yes.
You need to be remodeled. Like, I'm not.
Oh my God, I love
I'm
that
not,
so much.
Like, everybody has their issues. I get it. But like, I'm in my 30s. Like, I'm not looking for a project. I'm not mm-hmm. looking. You need to be healed. You need to be remodeled.
You already have
I've,
a full-time
yeah,
job.
Like, and, you know, your emotional and mental health need to be good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not looking for a house that I need to remodel and that I need
I
to
love
fix.
That. That is such a great.
And that's what.
Great.
Because I wouldn't want to go in a relationship with someone feeling they need to fix me
yeah.
either. So I'm like, hey,
but,
I'm ready for things. I have my shit together with all those things. Everybody has their issues, mm-hmm. but like, and there's always going to be growth. That's not what I mean. But I'm looking for a actual ready house.
Ready to live in home. And with that, you said you don't want someone else to take care of you, essentially what you just said,
mm-hmm.
in the terms of like, you don't want someone to have to worry about like fixing you up.
Right.
But I do think that's a gender thing as well, because we as women since the beginning of time, we're always told, make sure everyone else is taken care of before yourself. So we're used to naturally going into relationships and experiences that making sure we're good already for them.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they're a hot mess, it's like, come to mama.
It's okay.
I can help. I can fix you. I can nurture you.
It's fine. Maybe if I just stay in this long enough, you'll be a great husband one day. You're a piece of shit right now.
Because I work so hard.
I'm working so hard and I ain't no quitter.
Yes, literally. Oh my God. I love that. I'm going to use that.
Well, and then
like,
again,
that perspective is so easy.
And the whole thing is like, I think women don't like to quit. So,
yeah.
And that's the thing too. And it's like, well,
if you
won something and it's still a piece of crap, have you really won anything? So it's like, really?
No, literally. And then it goes back to how they respond to things, and then they gaslight you or they make you feel bad for leaving, or that's a whole other story.
That's a whole other
but
thing.
But the concept of that is amazing.
Yeah.
And for my younger listeners, start this thought process now. So you're not 40, 50, 60.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, I'm still fixing up this man.
Ah, no,
this
for sure.
This grown-ass man. Like, let's regroup.
Sure.
And then you have kids and a house and a life with them, so it's kind of harder to leave, you know?
Yeah.
That's really cool. I like that a lot. I don't like that that's a thing that we have to do and think about, but I appreciate the perspective.
Yeah.
Okay?
You know. It is what it is.
Yes. Well, this is awesome. I, like, have loved every moment of this.
I
feel like I just healed. But also, I have something more healing to do.
Everybody.
When I go home. And I have to edit this because I have some rearrangements I have to make in this lifetime. Okay. Last question for you that I'm asking every guest now is, what is the most, either like the biggest life lesson you've learned so far, or what's the one thing you wish like 16-year-old Amaria knew? That you can spread the love, spread the wealth,
spread the wealth,
you know, the mental wealth.
Spread the knowledge. I gotcha.
Spread the
I gotcha. You know what? I think it goes back to, you can't replace time.
Aww.
I think that works in every area. So I'm going to phrase it like that, because I think that works in every area of like friendships, relationships, everything. I think you can always... There's a lot of things in life that you can like replace. You can replace money if it gets, you can make more money, you can do this, whatever. But time, once it's gone, it is always gone.
Ugh.
You don't get it back.
Yeah.
And I think you realize that when you're younger, but not to the extent as you get older.
Yes.
As you get older, time starts to become such a real thing to you, where you're like, holy crap. Like, where did the time go, you know? And so I think that about like in every aspect, even with job, like with working, with relationships, with friendships, anything. I'm always like, you can't get that time back. So make sure you spend your time where you should spend your time, because you're never going to get it back. And I think that's biggest thing. And that's why I was like, you know, I can't get my time back. I can't get that hour back. I can't get those 2 hours back.
Yeah, you can't. Even
spend
it
where it matters. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Well, so, thanks for being here.
Of course.
Spending your time here.
I love spending my time with you.
I mean, I hope that this also can help somebody else. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Regroup. I think that's what we do it for.
Yeah.
But that's beautiful. Oh, my God. I have so much rethinking to do. I have a few weeks until my birthday when we're filming this. So I definitely have some regrouping because that's a cool perspective. And I don't know. I'm turning 24. Which is still very young and beautiful, but I
still don't waste that time.
Having, I'm like, wait, I'm now mid-20s. I'm still a teenager. Mentally, I'm 16.
Yeah,
what's going on?
I still mentally, we're still in 2000, 2002.
That's
right now.
I love that.
Are you kidding me? I'm like, this. Man, I remember this song came out 2 years ago. Like, bitch, it came out 20 something years ago.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. So, this is fun. A lot of regrouping. Which I love, which I like, you know, it's part of the process. But this is exciting. I'm excited to hear people's thoughts on this episode because like this is really, people I know at least that reach out to me and follow up after episodes, like this is hitting home. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of
there's
course.
There's a lot of things I can get just muddled with a lot of.
Yeah, I want you to know every bullet point I had, we touched on 2 of them. Because we just got so much more fun content, which thank God.
That's great.
I love that.
Yeah.
And
we feed off each other really well.
It does.
It's natural.
We also have different perspectives, I think this is fun. Different things we've read and researched and whatever. So this is great. Mm-hmm. I love this. I already want you back.
I want to come back. I love talking to you. It's fun.
Yeah. Well,
honestly, I just come to hang out with you. Forget that.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Well, Amalia, do you want to plug anything?
Not right now. I finished my full length script for my full length film.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so I'm going to be casting that soon. Thank you. It's long. I mean, not long, but it's a full
exciting.
Length, so it's kind of scary. So,
yeah.
Just keep an eye out for that.
Very exciting.
You can follow me on A Weirder Weirdo on Instagram.
Instagram handle.
Amaria Rand. Yep.
I'll tag you and stuff,
for sure.
Of course.
So,
yeah.
And yeah, that's about it. When that comes out, I'll
repost your stuff too. But also listen to episode 17 in season 1 to hear Amaria and I talk.
Yeah.
You know, see the growth, see what was going on back then, and now we can talk about what's happening here today.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you know the drill, subscribe, comment, reshare, tell everyone and their mothers about the podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And submit your questions, your comments, your topics, all the things. We will be touching those every week. So until then, I cannot wait to see you when we are on to the next episode next week. Bye.